A service for the sixth Sunday of Easter, May the 10th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Acts 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue and with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he actually is not far from each one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being, then, God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of men. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now a sermon entitled, "Good News to Tell." One friend greeting another, after not seeing each other for a while, might ask, "So, what's new?" The other one thinks for a moment, draws a blank, and then responds, "Same old, same old." That's often the case. Though we might like to have something new to report, it's usually just the same old thing. Solomon once reflected upon this, concluding, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." We wish there was more that is new. Someone has quipped that the news might better be termed the olds. What is reported each day is just a slightly different version of the same old thing all over again. Today's text from Acts informs us about certain Greek intellectuals who were after something new. Paul's adventures found him in Athens awaiting the arrival of his companions who were traveling behind him. Well, killing time, he checked out Athens, and what he observed, it disturbed him. Our text speaks of how his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. His heart broke as he observed that these were religious people, and though they sought to be on the cutting edge of beliefs and philosophies, they instead were bogged down with the same old ancient worship of idols. Paul intended to make the most of his waiting. There in Athens, the Jewish community had a synagogue. He went there, where he reasoned with the Jews and the devout persons. He did his best to let his kinsmen and others associated with them know that Jesus was their Messiah. Presumably, he had some success, but likely most wanted nothing to do with his teachings. From there, Paul branched out. The synagogue was his element, but he would move out from there into the world that was bent on idol worship, attempting to preach the gospel to them. Where he went to is described as the marketplace, and he spoke every day with those who happened to be there. We are not sure what fruit that effort bore, but he certainly planted seeds. And something else that it did was capture the attention of some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. They were hearing reports of how this little Jewish man who had some strange teachings. We are told how they also conversed with Paul. They were quite skeptical that this fellow had anything new to tell them, asking one another, "What does this babbler wish to say?" However, there were others who were more intrigued, replying, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities." And what really captured their attention was that Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. He was preaching to them the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The message was contrary to all the idol worship in which they were steeped. Idol worship is about doing things for your divinity in an attempt to appease it so that in return your idol might provide you fortune, favor, and good luck. That way you could have an easier time and get ahead. It makes me think of a person our family once met on a van transport from the airport to the hotel. The first person on was to be the first person off. A man who was hoping to score big in the casino was on board. He wanted to appease Lady Luck. He thought that if he allowed the driver to drop off the family before him, this kind deed would earn him some favor with her, ones he hoped to cash in on when he gambled. It's the same old. There's nothing new about any of it. Appease your deity so that it will hopefully respond in kind. As Solomon had rightly observed, there's nothing new under the sun. However, what they were now listening to from Paul sounded very different. We learn how those who had influence took hold of Paul and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" They admitted, "For you bring some strange teachings to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." As an aside, Luke tells us how all the Athenians and foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Friends, the gospel is something new. What makes it new is that it is a remarkably different message than what people normally hear. The gospel is not about us opposing a deity in the hope of gaining its favor. It has nothing to do with that. Instead, what it has to do with is the deity coming amongst us, as one of us, in order to give us what we don't deserve. The gospel is the message of Jesus, true God begotten of the Father, who took on human flesh. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus atoned for humanity's sins by dying on Calvary's cross. Now all who trust in Jesus and what he achieved for us are forgiven of their sins and have God's favor, not only now, but in eternity. And confirmation of all this is that Jesus rose again from the dead after he died. He was seen alive by many witnesses. This is a very different and new teaching. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." He praised them for this, though not for how they expressed it. However, he had noticed something that would help him preach the gospel. He says to them, "For as I passed among and observed the objects of worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." This unusual altar that he found among their idols would prove his point that they knew there was something more and that their idol worship was inadequate. Paul would say that there was a new way to look at religion, and he was there to tell them all about it. He continues to speak about our mutual Creator, explaining that God, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. It's absurd to think that humans have anything to offer the Almighty, for all is his since he made it. In fact, people themselves are his, for he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. In addition, God has determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. Truly, there's one God, and they needed to see him in a whole new way. And on their part, people should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. And yet he is actually not far from each one of us. In a way, Paul was saying that God so loved the world, wanting all to believe in him and be saved. Paul then thought to quote one of their own poets who had said, "For we are indeed his offspring." Paul then made it clear that being then God's offspring, we ought not to think of the divine being as like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Instead, it was time to leave the same old idolatry and believe in the one true God in a whole new way. That way they would be ready for Judgment Day, Paul explaining that God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. This man of whom he speaks is Jesus. Therefore, God now commands all people everywhere to repent and to believe this good news. At last, Paul concludes by telling his listeners how the Lord has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Friends, this was something new for them. Some heard of it and mocked Paul. Others, however, were intrigued and said, "We will hear you again about this." And there were yet others who took what he said to heart, for we are told that a few men and women joined him and believed. What's new? Something that is new and worth trusting in is the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for us, that through faith in him we have sins forgiven and the promise of new life both now and in eternity. As Paul waited for his companions by sharing the gospel, we too can share the gospel with others as we wait for our Lord Jesus to return. That is the day when all the faithful shall be raised from the dead. Revelation 21:5 tells us that he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." In Jesus, he has and will. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.